Brainstorm Brewery is brought to you by GatheringMagic.com and CoolStuffInc.com. Show your support. So welcome everyone to a special episode of Brainstorm Brewery. We could actually call this a special episode because it is, at least for me, it's episode number 50. What about you guys? I know Jason, he's not too happy about it because you know he wasn't on until episode 10, so he has to wait another 10 episodes before
he can. It's not my 50th episode. It's probably my 43rd episode or something like that. So,
not
impressed.
If we're going by that, we've all missed one or two, so really nobody's at their 50th episode yet, except for our listeners.
Well, yeah. Marcel almost would have, but then he missed, episode 48?
Marcel's at 49 right now, so.
Yeah.
Boys, this is a milestone for nobody.
Well, I'm sure somebody out there has had the unfortunate case of listening to all 50 episodes, so it's 50 for them. Congrats.
But it's actually episode 100 for us because we record an episode before every episode.
That's true.
It's true. And someday listeners will get to hear some of that.
Inevitably, this is how it goes. We get on, we think we're going to start immediately. Instead, we bullshit for an hour. And then we say, you know, we really should have recorded that. And then we do the same thing the next week.
Yeah. But see, the tidbits that we actually should have recorded probably is about a total of maybe 2 to 3 minutes in an hour.
Right.
And the rest is all BS.
It's too much work to go through and find the two actual solid minutes of stuff that would be worth it in that hour. So
the rest
if you feel like, if you feel like you're missing out when we reference that, you're not missing anything.
Yeah. It's selective memory on our part. It's mostly 45 minutes of us just insulting each other.
Mostly if the three Corbin. Of us insulting Corbin can be referred to as insulting each other, then
yeah. Well, all right, let's, there's some Dragon Maze cards that, we learned about this week, right?
Is it the very first thing we want to talk about?
Yeah, I think it's all people give a shit about.
Yes, myself included. So, we had some feedback from everybody, and I think the way everybody wanted us to go is on the websites where people talk about the cards in terms of their playability, they assign a 1 through 5, you know, for limited and constructed, as in like 1, this is poop, it won't make your sideboard in limited, to 5, whereas like, this will define standard, and if you get this in limited, this will determine which colors you play.
So, for reference, a 0 is like a time reversal, and a 5 is like a Jace the Mind Sculptor pre-release. True?
Sure. Okay. So, like a 5 is like a Baneslayer Angel. Like, well, I guess I'm playing white.
Yeah.
Are we going to 0, or is it 1 through 5?
No, so it's 1 through 5. So, I don't know where 0 came from.
Except for time reversal, which was actually a 0.
That's valid.
Okay. There are no time reversals in this set in terms of finance because everything, nothing is less than bulk. So if a 1 is a bulk rare, there's no 0. So what I think we should do is we are going to do the same 1 through 5, but it's not going to be in terms of playability because who cares what a bunch of finance nerds think about the card's playability. We're going to be assessing the card 1 through 5 in terms of whether we think it's 1, completely overpriced, don't touch it, it's going to go down. Don't trade for it. Don't buy it. Like, if you bust it in a booster pack, get rid of it. Versus 5, which is, hey, this is about $1 now. This will probably be 10 in a few years. Or this is going to go up the more people play it. We think its pre-sale price is, a little bit less expensive than it should be.
Like a simple
Illusion. Well, yeah. So like a $6 pre-order Thrag Tusk would have been about a 5. More tangibly, stuff that we've talked about on this cast. I think Corbin said Restoration Angel was way underpriced, and he was right about that. I think we said Angel of Serenity at $8 was ridiculous when that hit 20. And also, I think we said that $20 for Abrupt Decay at the time was insane. That would have been about a 1 because Abrupt Decay ended up crashing down to like 5 before it stabilized around 8. So if you pick those up at 25, you look pretty foolish.
And
so,
if you listen to us on Bonfire, you'd look really foolish too because we thought that was overpriced card and
Reckoner. We definitely have our misses.
Well, no, the Boros Reckoner thing, we were doing something pretty useless. We're like, the three of us said Boros Reckoner was not bulk. which really wasn't all that helpful to people. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to put ourselves out there a little bit more, and we're going to actually say, I think this card is going to go up, I think this card's going to go down, and this is the degree to which I think that. So
yeah, I think that Boros Reckoner is like a good example of why our old system of bulk or not kind of fell short. I mean, because we all said, hey, this isn't bulk, because in my mind, like, I knew the card was underpriced at $3 or $4. I thought it would go to $7 or $8, you know? So, like, on today's system, that would be like a 3 or something where I think it's a good trade target, you know? But just calling that bulk or not kind of falls flat, which is one of the reasons why we're implementing a new system here that hopefully will give you a little more direction.
And I think it'll tell you a little bit more of the extent to which we have confidence. Because, right, you know, if it's a 5... A 5 says to you that I'm actually going to go out this weekend and spend my own money on these cards. Like, a 5 means buy this at retail because it's going to go up.
And I want to let everyone know this probably won't translate at the same for Magic Online. So I'll try to squeeze what I can in there, but I don't even know the prices on Magic Online for another couple weeks. And it's just completely different. But
yeah, it's safe to say pretty much everything goes down on Magic Online just by virtue of the way it works, right?
Yeah, within the first week, prices usually settle. They got the first tier, they'll settle, and then probably two to three weeks after that, there'll be another one, which is like the actual floor, and then things start to go up.
Right.
And you can find some good cards within that first week, and those could be some of the $30 cards that people don't quite see. You're able to get in on them early. Like Sphinx's Revelation was like about $6, $5, $6 at first, and then it just shot up, and that was like a $35 card. So, I mean, yeah, you just gotta get in relatively at one of those and make a price conscious that you want to move it. So we'll see what happens in terms of what the cards are going to do, but we'll see.
Okay.
Excellent. Right. So I think there are going to be some financially relevant uncommons in the set, but there was really no Boros charm that I saw. There was nothing that's like, hey, this is going to be a $5 uncommon in the short term. So I think what we are going to do is focus just on the rare cards and the mythic rares.
Seems reasonable.
You'll probably forgive us if we don't talk about 10 of the rares in the set, because they are Shocklands. And yeah, the call on all of those is Shocklands are going down.
Yeah, we've had that conversation.
We have.
I don't think they're going down much, but I think
Without further ado, I think let's go ahead and jump right into this spoiler and let's get to embarrassing ourselves, because inevitably we'll be super wrong about one or two of these.
All right, let's start. So we just want to run it on, like, spoiler the way it normally is. First card is Renounce the Guilds.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pre-order 150 on Kusa Fink.
That seems about right to me.
Yeah, that seems like a 3. I mean, I would target that and trade. I don't want to go buy a bunch at $1.50, but I could easily see that being a $3-$4 card. But at the same time, I could easily see that being a bulk rare.
Yeah.
This seems to me like a Rest in Peace.
Yeah.
It seems as good as Rest in Peace. It seems really similar to that card. And Rest in Peace, pre-ordering at $1, I think I want to trade for those at $1, and I want to wait for them to hit 4. If this hits 10 in the short term, I'm going to dump them, but
it's definitely not going to hit 10. It's very, very narrow.
Right.
It may not even see any play. It really depends, but.
All right. So I'm going to call this a 2, you know, for that same reason.
I think it's 3 sounds about right. I don't think it's super underpriced. A 4 would be, this card's underpriced, it could hit 5 very easily. So a 3 says that we're going to target them and trade, we're not going to pay cash for them. So I'm comfortable giving this like a 2.5 to a 3.
Yeah.
Yep. Say about 2. Yeah. 2 sounds right.
Okay.
Next card,
this is Scion of Vitugazi.
Corbin's troll card number 2.
Oh, they neutered it. What Corbin wanted this card to say was, when Scion of Vitugazi enters the battlefield, put a 1/1 white bird token into play and populate.
No, I didn't even, all I had to say was populate.
That's what I wanted it to say. So bad.
I think there are too many tokens, and I think there are too many ways for, like, Cackling Counterpart for, it's like, well, I have all the Scion of Vitugazi. I don't think they necessarily want a Splinter Twin combo in standard.
And Stay-Dons. Like, there are just too many ways. Infinite Reflection, a bunch of ways to abuse it.
What they did was they made what Corbin always wanted, was a creature that populated when it came into play, but at the same time, it's not going to be able to go infinite. So worst case scenario, you're getting 2 1/1 white birds, I guess, on top of a 4/4 for 5 mana, which is fine, but you're not going to go insane with it.
So it's a $1 pre-order.
I mean, that seems right to me. It feels like bulk. It may be a casual card. It might be like $2, but that's about it.
I think I actually gave this card a 1. I think $1 too much.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's bulk, and that's, you know, $1 pre-order is bulk, so that's now, I say
again,
one.
This is a good point to remind people, we don't think this card's unplayable. I would give this card a 4 in terms of playability and limited, and maybe a 2 or 2.5 in terms of playability and constructed. Like, but this is just like, this is a $1 pre-order that I think will be 15 cents. So I'm going to give it a 1. I think it'll go down in price from a $1.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. If it were, you know, worded a little differently, it could be insane, but it's not, so.
Sure. Marcel, what do you think?
Yeah, definitely bulk on Moto. This will be a 5-cent card.
Yep. All right. Next card. We're all set with white already. We are into blue, and one of my favorite cards is set, not necessarily financially, but Aetherling.
Morphling.
Nice.
Thornling.
Better Morphling.
Yeah, you know, Morrow wrote a pretty good article about this card. Why it doesn't have a fifth ability is because they said it's exile and come back into play ability essentially gives it Shroud and untaps it, so that they called that two abilities. So
also, it didn't fit in text box.
Sure, it didn't fit in the text box.
That was the biggest reason.
Sure, because there's a lot of text on that exile ability. But, but
if they just keyworded that and said Flicker Aetherling, boom.
I think what people need to remember is Aetherling costs 7 mana to play. So you're going to say, hey, this costs 4 colors and 2 blue. Bullshit. You're not going to run this out without a blue untapped.
Sure, you
will. Finisher. So,
no.
If he's
there
your
will
finisher,
be plenty of people that will do it.
And... sure. Bad people at the pre-release. But I mean, in all practicality, if you are going to be a control deck and you're running this guy as a finisher, which seems the best role for him, you're going to run him at 7 mana. So you, the bare minimum, have 1 exile activation to save him.
I mean,
so,
personally, I don't even think this card's going to be played. I think it's just...
I don't know if this is Thornling, which saw a lot of play and was very good, or if it's Windreaver, which did not see a lot of play and was very bad.
All right, so it's $6 pre-order.
I think that'll go down.
Me too. So I don't think so.
Yeah, but if it sees play, this is potentially a $10 card. Bearing all that in mind, I actually gave it a 3. And that sounds like I'm hedging a little bit, but when you think about it, trading for it at 6 and it being around 6, you don't have much potential for it to drop all that much. If you look at what Torchling is right now, what Thornling is right now, I don't think it's going to drop a ton from 6, and it has the potential to go up. I think trading for this at $6 seems really low risk. I'm not going to spend any cash on it, but I can give this guy a 3 with some confidence.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same way.
What do you think he'll go for if he gets adopted? If he's a 2 of in 2 or 3 decks as a finisher, he's easily a $10 card, right?
No. Thornlane is $2, and it's a mythic rare, just so, like, we have a comparison point here.
That's not a standard.
No, I understand that, but, like, there's no particular appeal for these, like, outside of standard, so everything in its price is going to be reflected to its playability.
This one is blue, not green.
I mean, that's fair.
Yeah, this is short-term. I don't know what its long-term viability is. It's worse than long-term.
You don't want to pay more than 2, and that is still just a rare.
Yep.
So $10. I mean, the fact that it's not a mythic is what really hurts it and keeps it. Like, I think $10 might be a little high, but I think 6, I'm very comfortable picking them up at, because I think people, if it does get adopted at the SCG the weekend after or any events that are real close to that, I think it will spike to 10 for a very temporary. Like, until, you know, similar to how Boros Reckoner did and then came down. Obviously not in the same scale because it's not going to be played in everything.
Sure.
But
well, I mean,
that Boros Reckoner 50, effect.
Jace hit 50 in the short term just for the impatience factor. Like, if Aetherling gets any play at all, you're going to be glad you picked these up at 6 when it hits like 20 because nobody's got any. I don't think it holds 20 for more than a weekend, but I think the potential is there to make out. And I think it going down from 6 is going to take 2 or 3 weeks. I think it going up from 6, if it's going to, could happen overnight. So I think it's low risk picking these up in trade at $6.
I say give it a 3, but I still think it's definitely probably going to dip down. It's not going to get adopted right away. Unless it does, and you see it at the Pro Tour, you see it at the SCG, and it really hits, then I mean, get a couple, but I wouldn't go deep because I do think it'll dip down before it goes back up.
All right.
And that's the issue, because aggro is a lot easier to solve than control, and this is not an aggro card. This is going to go in a control deck as a finisher, and those take a little longer to work out.
All right, so next.
Next card. Trait Doctoring, a 1-mana blue sorcery rare. Change the text of target permanent by replacing all instances of one color word with another, or one basic land type with another, until end of turn. And
well, this is insane as an instant. You could change the land type on Boil to... oh, wait, no, this is a sorcery.
It's bulk.
Bulk.
Yeah, if there's a 0 in the set, it's this.
Yeah,
it's not like, even playable in limited. Like it,
I can't think. Yeah, in like long term, you want Spectral Shift. Is that the guy with Entwine? Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, why do you even, like, what is the point of having Cypher on this? Like,
yeah, none of these are relevant.
What are you ever going to do this two turns in a row, twice in one turn? Like, it doesn't do anything. So
I can see playing this in limited if I'm running a lot of Extort.
It's going to do something. It's going to find, someone's going to be able to find some little quirky thing to do with this. Sure. And
I really looked and looked, but it's the fact that it's a sorcery. Why did it have to be a sorcery?
But you could turn your Sky Lasher into protection from any other color that you want.
You can mutilate with islands.
No, Marcel, you couldn't because it has protection from blue.
And
You can't. Yeah, it's only permanent. And it's a sorcery. Ugh. All right. Yeah, this thing's terrible. Next card. This is why are we still talking about this thing?
Blood Scrivener. Dark Confidant, right?
What's the pre-sale on this guy?
$8.
Ugh.
It's a zombie wizard. Dark Confident mana cost, Dark Confident stats, a 2/1. If you would draw a card while you have no cards in hand, instead draw two cards and lose one life.
Hey guys, we brought back Hellbent. Wouldn't you love to dump your cards and get wrathed?
No, I do like this guy because... I do like this guy because of the Craw Worm that makes everybody discard. And eight's too high. I mean, plain and simple.
Two mana and six mana, they curve right into each other.
Yeah,
no, it's fine, but I don't have a problem with this guy anyway.
Okay, so give him a number. Give him, assign him a value.
He's too expensive. A one or a two.
Don't yeah, me. One.
He's a two at $8.
I mean, whether I think he's playable or not, eight's too much.
It's a one to me.
Eight's too much for any rare, almost, unless, like, it's... Honestly, for something to get, like, a four or five, people will have had to make a mistake. And people have made mistakes in the past. Yeah. Thragtusk was an $8 pre-order. Angel Serenity was an $8 pre-order. You know, stuff like that. Like, Assemble the Legions was bulk. But nobody made a mistake. I think they just... Scrivener's $8, and I don't agree.
I think the power level in this set just isn't necessarily high enough for there to be big mistakes made.
Even if Blood Scrivener ends up as a 4 of in two decks, I don't think it maintains 8.
Yeah.
As people open it.
And I mean, this is a smaller set, so you're less likely to have stuff fly under the radar like Reckoner did. But yeah, alright, so we're all in agreement there. Let's move on to the next one here, as we've got a bunch to go through.
That's gonna confuse the heck out of our listeners the first time through. Probably is like, yeah, this card's really good. 2.
Well, I mean, is this that trying to discard your card hand is really difficult if you ever did play with Hellbent and the card has power, but it's definitely a dark confidant. So moving on to the next card.
Pontiff of Blight. 4 black, zombie cleric, 2/7, extort, all of the creatures you control have extort.
So this guy is pre-selling at, I don't have it, somebody got it?
I bet it's $2, so let's find out.
Oh. Do you think it's a whole $2? This guy's pre-selling above $1, I'll be disappointed. Well,
it's 75 cents.
Sure. He's a 1, because I don't think he maintains as high as 75 cents. This guy is nuts and limited. Like, if I get him in limited, I'm going to, like, look at playing black. But unfortunately, like, limited playability doesn't really affect its price. I don't think this guy's playable and constructed, and I don't think he maintains as high as 75 cents. I'm giving him a 1.
He's not playable anywhere, obviously. Yeah, he's a 1. Is this part of the 2/7 cycle? Because wasn't there a Return to Ravnica white creature that was a 2/7 that did stuff?
There was, right? Like a 4/7. The thing that, like, it took prevented damage instead of you and your creatures?
Yeah, is that not a 2/7?
Yeah, I think it was. I don't think there's any real cycle to it.
Whatever, ignore me. It was...
A cycle of 2/7, says Corbin.
Yeah. There's two of them.
Well,
it's a cycle of two.
There's 2/2/7s in a block.
That's one for every 2.5 colors in Magic.
Okay.
There's a cycle of Merfolk.
It makes you feel better. There's 0.5 for each Merfolk. And that's 2/7. Too.
It's a very random number. So, like, a very random power toughness. That's why I asked, because I thought there was another. So I didn't know maybe there were more.
Clearly they rolled 2d10 for this.
Next card.
Possibility Storm.
This sets
Guild Feud. And
I want to play this card.
Ryan likes Guild Feud.
No. This is more like an Eye of the Storm effect or something like that. This is not a Guild Feud.
It's confusing, but if you take the time to really sit down and really understand what the card does,
you cast Midnight.
You'll be disappointed.
No, you cast Midnight and get Emrakul, right?
No. What you do is you play Possibility Storm and Curse of Exhaustion, and then they get really upset that they lost to somebody playing a 4-drop into a 5-drop. If you play this with Curse of Exhaustion, they actually can't play spells from their hand the rest of the game, which is funny, but it's a really bad 2-card combo.
Oh, I didn't think about that. That is the best use for it I've seen. Anyways, the card is 50 cents.
Oh, that seems really high.
I'm going to disagree with you guys.
I actually like this card a lot.
I think it's a lot. Yeah, go ahead, Ryan.
I think it's a really cool combo card, and I think that there may actually sometime during its life in Standard be some sort of wonky combo deck that tries to actually win with it. Like, if there's some really good artifact that comes out or some really good enchantment, and you just play, you know, a couple of other ones that can cantrip into it, like Prophetic Prisms and stuff like that, and, like, you know, trying to hit whatever that major card is. Like, I'm just waiting for them to print some giant Timmy card that you can abuse this with.
Well, you four Summoner's Pact, four Court of Calling, Possibility Storm, Midnight, Emrakul.
Oh, my God. So
that's your... Okay. Well, like, that's, like, the opt... Like, you know, that's the kind of things that need to exist for you to actually do something with this card, you know?
I think any time a big Dirtly enchantment comes out, you got to read it three times and make sure it's not Hive Mind.
Well, but
because
there's
I really wish I'd bought Hive Mind for 50 cents when they pre-ordered.
Yeah, there's just too much text on this. I actually just choose.
That's what it is.
Just decide.
I will happily trade for them at 50 cents. I'm not going to go put money on them.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So I give this a 2.
It's a 4 for me because it's a cheap, like, it's 50 cents, right? Like, 50 cents in trade is like 25 cents in cash. And I can sell bulk rares at 25 cents. So, like this can't actually get really cheaper, you know, for me at least. So it's a 4 to me.
Wow, okay. Well, we're giving it an average of 3, so I guess...
Yeah, I mean, it's just so cheap, and it's not that we think the card's good. Like, it's just about as cheap as it can get.
We think that the risk-to-reward ratio is in your favor if you pick these up.
Right. Okay.
I would agree with that, and I gave it a 2, so...
I give it a 3.
Average of 3 for the podcast. Sounds good.
All right, next card.
Pyre Wild Shaman.
3 mana, 2 colorless, 1 red, 3-1.
I see combo potential for this guy. Well, he's no squee. I'm going to read his ability because here's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Whenever one or more creatures you control deal combat damage to a player, if Pyre Wild Shaman is in your graveyard, you may pay 3 colorless. If you do, return him to your hand. So he's got a Blood Rush ability. You can give the creature +3/+1 for colorless and a red. So, you know, that's one utility of him, is with just, you know, Blood Rushing with him, and then, you know, if your creature's hit, you get him back. But there's potentially some sort of, like, this, if you're hitting them with creatures, possibly using him to fuel your Liliana and paying 3 colorless to have something to pitch to Liliana every turn is in your favor.
This card is just the balls. Aggro wants nothing to do with this. You have to pay 3 mana to return it. If you get to return it for free, I might agree with you.
Yeah, I might agree with you. All right, $2.
Way too much.
I'm not paying 2. I give this guy a 1. I'm just saying. At 1.
We're going to quit just saying, all right?
Yeah.
We got to just say another card.
It's a 1 to a 2.
But when somebody does something broken with this, you'll remember that I said it had potential.
That's why I gave it a 1 to a 2. I hedged for you.
I'll give it a -3.
Next card.
You can't give it a negative. That's impossible, Ryan.
I'm doing that to balance it out.
Okay. All right. That's enough.
Right.
Renegade Crassus.
This set's so bad. I'm sorry I got excited about a bad card.
Right. Renegade Crassus, 3/2, 2 green and a colorless. It has evolve. Whenever it evolves, put a 1/1 counter on each other creature you control that already has a 1/1 counter on it.
I want to like this guy a lot, and I still can't bring myself to do it.
He himself is tough to evolve. That's the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, sure, if you play a Thrag Tusk, you get a 1/1 counter and everything. That's pretty cool. So there's stuff that you can play, but you're not going to – you're probably going to get his trigger twice max.
Yeah.
Well, you'd be playing the other problem is there's not a lot of good other creatures with evolve you want to be playing in the constructed.
It's actually like a bad Ivy Lane Denizen in limited, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I think you just want Ivy Lane Denizen in limited because this doesn't put a 1/1 counter on everything. It's just the stuff that has a 1/1 counter on it already.
I mean, you play this in limited, like, because
Sure. It's a 3/2 for 3. Yeah. You don't care if it does anything else.
Like,
I want to like this guy so much. And he's pre-selling for $2, and I had to give him a 2.
Yep, I give him a 1. Like, there's just no way.
He's pre-selling for 2.
I don't think he maintains the $2. But like, he's probably a 1, but I gave him a 2. Screw it.
Right. So Marcel, you want to? I know you want to change the color text on Skylasher. So why don't you read it to us?
Skylasher is saying "F you" to the Geese of Saint Draft and other cards. I think so.
Does Geist put in a blue and white angel or a white angel?
The white. White angel.
But he's blue himself, so.
Yeah, you kill it, like.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It's kind of a thing. Like, it seems like a thing, I guess.
No, so, I like this guy.
It's like a Delver answer.
Plus, he can't be countered, so, like.
Like, this is basically a Delver answer card that, you know, Delver doesn't happen to
is a year
came,
too late.
Came a year too late, yeah.
Like, a year ago.
Just in time, guys.
So what this card does is it costs one and a green for a creature insect. It's a rare, a 2/2. It has flash. It has Skylash. It cannot be countered, as you already probably got. And then it has reach and protection from blue.
This guy just straight up murders Delvers.
Yeah, it is definitely a Delver answer card. $4 pre-order.
So this is how long it takes for
battle.
I would say that's a three.
Selling for.
I think it might dip a little, so maybe like a 2 to 3, but.
What is he at right now?
$4.
$4? Oh, shoot. I didn't see.
Well, I like this card, but I, ugh. He's a side. Yeah.
I'm not gonna give a sideboard card above a 3, like on principle. So, man.
But I just feel like even $4 is too much for this guy.
I
don't think he's gonna drop that much.
Every green sideboard.
Yeah, I don't think he's gonna drop that much. I think he'll be a steady $2 to $3, like probably always. But that doesn't mean I want to. Like, I still have to give him a one because he's going down, right?
Sure. Then I'll want to buy him for $1 cash.
Yeah, sure. I would be happy to do that.
Yeah, I'll pay $1 cash on this guy, so I got to give him like a one. But he'll be a solid pickup. You know what? I think he's going to be one of those cards like Rest in Peace that is going to dip in the short term. Lower than it will plateau. So I think this guy won't end up at 50 cents, but I think you'll be able to get him for 50 cents for a while. So just wait on that.
Yep.
Sure.
All right.
We are out of the single colored cards now and into the multicolor finally, which most of this set is. Our first rare is Advent of the Worm. Costs one green, green, white, instant. Put a 5/5 green worm creature token with trample on the battlefield. And I know Marcel loves him some Advent of the Worm.
$7.
Not that much.
On a non-mythic. $8. I love Advent of the Worm. $8 on cool stuff?
$7.99.
Oh, okay.
Yep,
yeah,
that's a one. I love Advent of the Worm, but I love it as a one.
I like Advent of the Worm. I think it'll be a great card, but I'm going to wait for it to be $3.
Yeah,
like,
it's a one.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't see, if what is it, it's our favorite worm, the Armada Worm. Armada Worm is what? $3, $4, $5, $4.
Yeah, it took our Armada Worm hit 25 before it hit 4. Let's be real. That's a mythic. And that card was seeing quite a bit of play. So
really, it's quite a bit of hype.
Yeah.
It's all a bunch of play, but it's all a bunch of
I'm going to be real happy to open Advent of the Worm if I go Selesnya at the pre-release. I mean, $8? No thanks.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a mythic that I think we actually like. Who wants
Baron of Viscopa?
Baron of Viscopa.
This is the guy I talked about last week, if you'll remember, because he reminded me of Divinity of Pride in a lot of his abilities. Blood Baron of Viscopa is a card I really like. I'm going to pick him up long-term and hold on to him. And this is a card I gave a 1 because his pre-sale price is $12 or $13, which is non-sane. Baneslayer Angel, this guy is not. I think he's going to be 12 or 13 pre-sale, and everyone's going to go, meh, and kind of just let him rot in their binder. You want to pick him up a year from now and then sell him 3 years from now. This is a very long-term call, but I'm giving him an actual 1, despite me really liking him as a pickup. Be patient. 12 to 13 bucks is non-sane. He's not that good.
I'm going to give him a 2, because although I agree with you, I think he's one of those kind of cards that if he sees play that first weekend, he may become 20. And again, it would be just for the weekend. But I don't think you actively go seeking these things. But I think that,
play in a universe where Obsidat's legal.
Yeah.
It could. Because, like, if, like, a Boros deck, you know, is the big thing after rotation, like, this guy is arguably better than Obsidat, you know, just in that. He can't be removed as easily by decks like that, and he has actual lifelink rather than an ability to
cards. Yeah, I can see that. That's
fair. Yeah, like, his protection's relevant.
Yeah.
And if you're drunk at the pre-release, you can't forget to put him back into play.
There you go. So, he's a definite one in my book, I think.
One and a half, you know.
If this guy were $4, we'd be having a different conversation, but he's not, so we're not. I want to like this guy. I do like this guy. I like him as a pickup, but for God's sake, $13?
Can we just skip over Boros Battle Shaper? Just give it a 0 now.
He does cool stuff that people that play in formats where seven mana is your first spell of the game.
Can
you just go
on EDH? Yeah, it did. Remember, we had this discussion during Return to Ravnica. EDH cards, although maybe fine long-term pickups, every card in the set is an EDH card. I'm not basing price on that. This is the bulkiest of bulk.
Real talk, I have a one written next to his name on my sheet that I wrote like an hour ago. So let's not pretend that I didn't always think this guy was bulk.
I mean, like, it's easy to look at, if you don't play EDH, like, obviously a lot of us don't play a ton. I actually played the other night, but you look at something that costs 7 mana, it has kind of a cool effect, and you're like, oh, EDH. And then EDH players are like, what the hell are you talking about? This is stupid. It's a bulk
rare. Yeah, they would just play, what is it?
Anything?
Master Warcraft options
or whatever. Yeah, this guy's a bad Master Warcraft.
All right, whatever.
You'd probably rather just play any card, but anyway.
So 49 cents is a one.
Yes. Oh, 49 cents is pretty high for a card that ended up 15.
It's a two.
Bulk rare.
Yeah. Bulk rare. Okay. Council of the Absolute. 2 white blue. Council or creature human advisor. As Council of the Absolute enters the battlefield, name a card other than Sphinx's Revelation. Your opponent can't cast the chosen card.
No,
spells
really.
The chosen name cost 2 less for you to cast.
Yeah, what happens if you name a spell other than Sphinx's Revelation with this?
World explodes.
They cast Sphinx's Revelation and you lose.
Yeah, like it just, or maybe a. Maybe Aurelius Fury, if that gets adopted in like a year.
Thragtusk.
Bonfire? I don't know. Yeah, like Thragtusk maybe. So,
Thragtusk
seems fine.
It just thinks it's Revelation.
You could cancel their slider games and then you got a wicked combo they can't kill.
Again, I'm not even going to say, hey, EDH, because he's not even mythic. So he would go in your Grand Harbor.
No, he is mythic.
He is mythic.
Yeah.
He is?
He's a mythic.
Or not mythic, I meant legendary. He's mythic, he's not legendary.
No, but it's interesting because... So,
He would go in your Augustine deck, but, like, who cares?
Augustine was actually good, like...
But that's one general. That's, like, it's so narrow. This card's so narrow. I don't know how much adoption it's going to get in standard. So.
It's pre-ordering at $8, so give it a
that's
rating.
That's super high.
This is actually going to see some form of, like, combo deck. I don't think it's going to be an $8 card, but I don't know. I'm not super... expecting it to drop to like a dollar or two either. I don't think it's gonna be a bulk mythic.
No, I mean, I think this is like
gave it a 2.5.
Yeah, I agree. Like a 2 or 3.
I give it a 2. I think it's definitely gonna drop. It's a sideboard card.
I think it won't kill you to trade for this at around 8. I think it'll trade out at 10 in the short term just because people want to pick them up.
Well, no, I'm just saying like maybe if it didn't cost 4 mana, but at 4 mana, like, and being mythic, or at 4 mana, it's probably just not going to be relevant in time in a lot of matchups. So, like, I don't think it's going to be huge in standard. And it'll probably see some EDH play. But, you know, it's like a 2.5 for me. You know, it's not super attractive at $8.
Sure. Okay, so Deathbridge Trant. 4 black-green mythic enchantment. When it enters the battlefield, put the top 10 cards of your library into your graveyard. Beginning your upkeep, choose a card at random in your graveyard. If it's a creature card, put it in the battlefield. Otherwise, put it in your hand. I don't know what the pre-sale price on this is, but I like this card a lot.
$3?
Okay, I like this card significantly less.
No. The pre-sale is $3.50.
$3.50, okay.
It's $3.50 on cool stuff?
I'm a 3 to a 3.5 on this guy, then.
Is it really, Corbin? $3.50 on cool stuff?
$3.50 on cool stuff.
Wow, it's $8 on Star City, so that tells you the... I would pick these up on cool stuff.
It's $4 on Star City.
Okay, so...
Corbin's probably looking at foils. Corbin, have you been looking at foils this whole time?
No, I'm the one with the real price. It's $3.50 on.
Oh, who was wrong? So I can make fun of them.
Jason was.
Jason, suck less.
Yeah, my information seems incorrect. It's fine.
It's $3.50 on TCG Player as well.
Okay. Yeah, 3 to a 3.5. Then I feel like this card is going to see play. I think that there are enough large spells right now that I expect some form of like a 5-color deck to pop up. It has nothing to do with Reanimator or anything like that. And I think this card will play it. That deck will play this card. I expect to be casting things like Rakdos Returns in the same deck that you're playing this card and stuff like that. And I expect to be like ramping into Farseek and so, I don't know, just some sort of, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 color control deck, Jund control, who knows. I think it's going to have a home.
Yep. I also give it a 3. for a few reasons. Like, one, I think that it could actually have a short-term spike in standard because, like, it's just so much value in these decks that you can play, and that you can play it in these decks. You know, like a Jund deck can easily put two of these in there and be fine. But, like, even past that, I like it because it's a mythic, and because I think it may drop some after the release if it's not adopted in standard, but it will be big in EDH and go back up over time. So it's like a 3 for me, because at $350, even if it goes down to $2 in a short term, I don't mind trading for them at that price, because I think it's 5 plus in a year and a half or so or more, with the possibility of it going even higher if it catches on the standard. So it's a 3 to me.
I'm leaning closer to 4.
Really? I think that this card is going to see significant standard play.
I think I can get behind that. Like, it seems just very good to me. And yeah. Black has a lot of tools. Especially if you look like after rotation, where you've got like Putrefy, Abrupt Decay, Vraska, like, and then you just kill everything for 3 or 4 turns, and then you play this. Like,
yeah, I'm very excited about playing this card.
$4 on a mythic seems almost like nearly bare minimum if it gets any amount of play.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's why, like, I'm saying I'm leaning closer to 4. Like, I don't want to say I want to go out and buy a bunch of these. If you're a player, I would pay for your playset now.
Yeah. So 3.5 for me, I guess, is...
I don't think it will ever be cheaper than that. Because I think it's going to see, even if it just sees fringe play, it's going to stay $3 to $4.
And if it does get, like, significant play, this is going to be one of those cards that we're going to be laughing in 3 months at, like, ha, this is a $4 pre-order. Just, yeah. I don't know if 6 mana is too much. I don't know. It is. It's a lot.
I don't think so. No, I really don't think so.
I don't think
so. The effect is crazy. It's insane. It is.
It's a Phyrexian Arena you pay for one time and you never look back.
Grave Betrayal is insane.
But it's, like, better than a Phyrexian Arena because it also randomly just reanimates stuff. Like,
so does Grave Betrayal. I'm just saying, guys, like, I don't know.
Yeah, but Grave Betrayal didn't always give you value. Like, you can't just main deck a Grave Betrayal because then you get playing against, you know, blue-white, you know, control where you're gonna get back their Snapcaster Mage and do nothing with it, or the Restoration Angel and do nothing with it. Like, this card is always good in every matchup. It's either drawing you a card or putting a creature into play.
Well, yeah, and it's like, and just it being green-black, I think is good, because if you just look at, like, this is basically the perfect rock card, okay?
Yes, it is.
Standard, totally. Right? Yeah. You have all kinds of green-black rock cards, like...
Would you want this as a 2-of or a 4-of, though?
A 2-of.
Yeah.
I would, yeah, I mean, probably a 2-of.
Max. 2-of. Like, so,
if it didn't mill you for 10 and milled you for less, I would almost say 4-of, but I don't think you ever want to cast 2 of these in a game.
Too much. It's a card you want 1 of in a game. Like, that's all you need.
Yeah. You don't want to draw a second one.
Well, yeah.
So
3 to 4 is how we rate this. So,
yeah.
Guys saying.
I'm actually comfortable giving it a 4 just because I think $4 is a really good entry point.
I mean,
I don't pay 4 cash.
This is probably the best target in the set right now to me.
I don't know about the best, but it's up there.
It's good.
I give it a 3. I think it may dip a little bit, because I think people won't realize right away. So I think it got a chance to get a little bit lower, but I still think you're not doing wrong by getting it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That's probably hit an exciting one there.
We get to talk about those since there's not many of them.
Yeah. Like pretty much anything we talked about last week.
Yeah.
Can we skip past the next like 6 of these?
So Dragon Shift.
Let's hit them fast. Dragon
Shift.
Okay. Dragon Shift has an F in it. Oh, I didn't see that the first time.
This is bulk, right? So it's that. Yeah. You sell for 50 cents, and
I'm not paying 50 cents for a Dragon Shift.
It's a 1.
Yeah. Peter Young will be targeting these all the time.
It pre-orders for $2 on Cool Stuff.
$2?
That's a 1.
Good luck.
Yeah, that's a 1. All right, let's just move right on past then to what, you know, blew up Twitter momentarily earlier this last week, I guess. Imara Tandris, the 7-mana, 5-green-white, 5/7, legendary elf creature. Prevent all damage that will be dealt to creature tokens you control.
Why did this blow up Twitter?
Because it was horrible and they were disappointed.
It was terrible. What was going to happen is Imara was going to have the... the Voice of Resurgence ability, and Voice of Resurgence was going to be the gigantic stag that was like a 5-7. So what they did is they switched them at the last minute, switched the abilities around. So now what we have is a 5-foot-tall female elf creature who weighs 90 pounds soaking wet, who can tear a crawworm in half in combat. Flavor-wise, this bitch is a 5-7, because why not? So
it's pre-ordered $1.
That's too much.
No, it's not. It's an L.
I gave it a 3. It's probably not going to go down.
She's still a legend. Yeah, I mean,
she's still a guild champion.
Like you put it in your.
God, it doesn't even make your tokens indestructible. It just prevents damage. Because,
I know, that's horrible.
Yeah. Oh, nice bonfire. Oh, but it's got to be that, okay. Supreme Verdict.
It's got to be okay. It's got. They probably played with it. They knew that it was somewhat good or powerful.
No, I think they made that switch like very last minute.
But the ability is playable though. They're not going to throw it on the champion for absolutely nothing.
I don't know. It's.
I think they thought this.
Well, I think they got lazy.
This ability had to be mythic. Isn't that why they made the change? They wanted the ability to be mythic?
Maybe.
I don't know that this ability is mythic, because it seems really neutered to me.
Ability feels like a 7-mana common to me.
They just got forced into it, but I do think at a dollar, it's probably a 3, because people who want this are going to be happy trading for it at a dollar. Like, it's not going to go any lower.
I gave it a 2, but I'm not going to argue with you guys that said 3.
Yeah. I was thinking 2, but Corbin makes a good point, so 3 sounds
it's
right.
It's a legendary. Yeah. It's an
2.5 average.
All right, let's get on to a card I'm excited about. Excava, Rakdos Blood Witch.
Excava,
whatever. 2 black red, unfortunately. 3/3. First strike, haste, unleash. Each other creature you control with a +1/+1 counter on it gets haste. I'm not excited about this card in the next 4 months, but I'm very excited about this card.
Hellrider's gone.
No, when Falcon Wrath Aristocrat's gone.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's $4 right now, so it's probably like a 2, maybe.
I feel like I'm a 3 on that one. I'm happy. Oh, wait. Is this? Oh, it's not a mythic. Crap. This is a guild champion. Never mind. Yeah. Never mind. 2/1. I think it was mythic for some reason.
It's not a 1. It's probably like a 3. Like, it will surely be played post rotation.
It may see play beforehand if there's some sort of deck that can support it. Like, maybe. I would like to see some sort of, I don't know if you can do like a Gruul. Like a Jund style build, but somehow get some green creatures like Experiment 1 in there. I don't know. Like, there may be a shell for it. I just don't know.
But
I'm going to give an Experiment 1 haste, exactly.
That's what I'm saying. That's kind of like irrelevant.
Yeah.
Like, play two in the same turn. Like, it's just...
give one of them haste.
So you guys would trade cards away $4 for these cards?
Yes. Like, yeah. I don't want this card.
I gave
don't
it a 2.
$4.
Yeah, I would not target it at 4. If somebody wanted to let me buy it for a dollar in cash, I would.
Yeah,
aren't these going to be common as dirt too? Because they're like, I realize that there are going to be twice as many guild or champions out there. So like, the effect of hey, these being in every
aren't in everyone. You don't get a guild champion.
Oh, is that right?
Huh? No, everyone gets the Dragon's Maze or Dragon's End or Maze End.
Oh, the Maze's End.
Yeah,
yeah, you don't get to play your champion like you did before.
But to me, it's a 2 because it drops to $2 and then like. At that price, I don't hate it, like, cause it, you know, it could hit 4 or 5 a year from now, but,
I think so too, it dropped to $2 and, give it a chance.
Yeah, I feel like this is actually the Hellrider of the block where, like, it's just gonna be super neglected for a year and all of a sudden it's gonna find the right deck and be $10.
So what about this Gaze of the Granite? This is a X.
Oh, I love this card so much.
Two black and 2 green.
It's the closest thing we're going to get to a Pernicious Deed.
Sorcery, destroy all non-land permanents with converted mana cost X or less. It's pre-selling for $4. It's a rare.
This is a major reason I feel Dreadbridge Chant has a chance to be in not just one, but multiple decks. I feel like this is the start of your rock deck that you just want to jam it into, and there's going to be all sorts of different variants. This with Putrefy, Abrupt Decay, I don't know, I like this card a lot, and I feel like it does pretty much everything the control deck needs it to do.
$5.
And it's fairly costed.
I just, like, if you want to kill a Boros Reckoner, that's 7 mana. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Like, it pulls the pants off a token.
It's 6
decks.
Mana.
6 mana.
No. For a Boros Reckoner?
Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, it's 2 black and 1.
4 black, black, green. That's 7. No,
it's X, 2 black, 1 green. 3 yes. Plus X.
Yeah, are you getting Boros Reckoner costing 4?
It costs 4, doesn't it?
Oh man!
Oh my God!
The smartest guy in the cast, right?
I don't play Magic. What is Boros Reckoner?
It's 3. It's 3.
Is it really 3 mana? That seems it's not 2 colors. It's 3 red white mana. That's right. Okay, fine. Gosh. 6 mana is still terrible. Boros Reckoner costs money wise, not mana wise. Who cares mana wise?
But like, you just think about all the tools the Rock deck has. Like, to me, like, you just start your deck with 4 Putrefy, 4 Abrupt Decay, 2 Gaze of Granite, 2 Dreadbridge Chant, 2 Vraska, like, and just build from there. Like, post rotation, a block, but like, there's just so much value in that rock deck that a card like this has a chance. Like, to me, $5.
You haven't named a single white card. Why go rock with it at this point?
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be rock in that sense. He's just saying the rock style deck. I mean, rock has been everything from green, white, blue to green, white, black. Like, the original rock deck, nobody even knows what it is anymore. And nobody knows why it was even called that. So it's just, that's just what people are using as the term.
The original rock deck had spectral links in it.
Well, the original rock deck was named after Phyrexian Plague Lord, because it was the rock and his loyal followers or whatever.
Well, like, my point of reference comes from, like, extended, you know, when I started playing, there was, like, the green black Life from the Loam deck with the three black X Cloud Death.
Yeah, Death Cloud. Everyone just refers to those style of decks where you're just a board control kind of deck as the rock, and so that's just what the archetype is.
But, like, yeah, that's, I mean, like, there's just... there are a lot of pieces there, and, you know, Dead Bridge Shan is exactly what you want at the top of it. So, like, Gaze of Granite probably gets played in that deck. But at $5, it's like a 2 to me, because I think it'll come down before then.
I don't think it's going to come down that much, and I feel like it is better than Mutilate, yeah. You can deal with Planeswalkers in a deck
by paying 6 mana minimum, like...
That's fine.
Like,
you're a ramp deck. That's what the rock does. It just plays big spells and goes over the top.
Yeah, Frostseeks and Thrag Tests and
Acid Removal.
Our assessment of the card, notwithstanding, I gave this a 4 because I think $4 is. I give this actually a 4.5 because I don't think $4 is correct.
I think it's a
just
2.
Based on the amount of hype I've seen around this card, everybody's excited about it. Timmy's like this card, but like pros I've seen on Twitter are excited about this too. Like,
yeah,
I
but
can't
you're never
going
to play more than a 2 of. I don't think, and maybe 3 in a sideboard. I severely doubt it. So I think it's like a 2. I think it's going to drop down.
And it's $5 right now. Like, that's got to come down first. Because I don't.
Yeah, I agree.
This deck. I don't think this is a deck outside of block or post rotation. Like, I think the format's too aggressive for these type of decks to be good right now. But
it's like, haha, you got your mana for your game.
So you're saying like a 2 short term, but then pick them up when they dump?
Yeah, like I think it hits $2 or $3.
I can see that. Pick them up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
You've been moving.
What do we got? What do we got next? Lavinia, a break here.
Lavinia the 10th.
This is a $3 card.
Oh.
Wow. I like her a lot. I actually almost. Yeah.
In a world with restoration, this is the only 5 I think I gave him.
I give it a 5. Yeah.
I like it as a 3. Like, I don't know that I like buying into it. Again, it's a rare.
$3?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to buy him at 3. Like, that means that I have to expect them to go to 7 or 8
right.
to make it worth it to me.
Right.
As opposed to if it goes to 5, I'm not happy paying 3 cash on a $5 card.
Yeah.
Well, so, okay. I was predicated on this being 5 minimum, like if it sees any adoption. So
I don't think so. I don't. It's a rare again, and it's not going to be a 4 of. It's a legendary creature.
Well, I mean, we're talking like Boros Reckoners are rare. I'm not comparing this to Boros Reckoner. I'm just saying in the short term, if there aren't a ton of copies out there, I think you'll be glad you paid $3 when this like approaches 10, just because everybody needs them and there aren't as many boxes open.
Yeah,
I mean, I suppose I would give it a 4 if anything for that, because it'll be a very short spike and it won't stay
there.
Well,
exactly, but this is the kind of card that'll spike in the short term. Deadbridge Chant's going to spike in the long term.
Right.
It's going to take people a while to figure out how to use it, but this is something that like seems ready to go. It's something that people are going to immediately look at and see the power level on it.
To me, like, Boros Reckoner was kind of the exception, and I generally don't like buying in cash at all, but particularly not on rares. Like,
well, yeah. I certainly haven't ordered any of these.
Yeah,
so like, 4, I mean, 4 seems safe, because you don't want to pay cash. You don't want to pay $3 cash, I don't think, for this.
Yeah. But,
you know, I would value it higher than just a 3, though.
Yeah. Okay. We got a couple mythics here. And here's one that's received a lot of hype. Legion's Initiative, white, red, mythic, enchantment. Red creatures you control get +1/+0. White creatures get +0/+1. Red and white, exile it. Exile all creatures you control. Beginning of the next combat, return those cards to the battlefield under their owner's control, and those creatures gain haste until end of turn. What do you guys think?
1.
2.
What's the price on it?
It's at $12.
$12? Yeah, 1.
Yeah. 1.
It's a 1 at $12. I don't care. I was just thinking about it. I'm like, when do you want to play this? On what turn do you want to play this?
Turn 3.
Turn 4.
Yeah, turn 4, because you can play it and hold up the mana for it, I guess. And that's the turn where they wrath you. So, yeah, turn 4 on the play. Like,
I mainly like it because it makes your Boros Reckoners better than theirs and stuff like that. Like, it just makes the mirror matchups better. I don't know that it's even good in every matchup. It's for that and the control matchups. So, like, it might not even be main deckable.
It seems a little clunky, and I don't know that if you wouldn't have made that. But it doesn't matter because it's a $12 pre-order.
Yeah, it's too much. Definitely like a one.
It's a one. Okay. Master of Cruelties.
Sorry, go ahead.
You got it, Ryan.
All right. So Master of Cruelties. 3, black, red. 1/4, creature, demon. Probably the most relevant part about this guy. First strike, death touch, mythic. Master of Cruelties can only attack alone. Whenever he attacks a player and isn't blocked, that player's life total becomes 1. He doesn't deal any combat damage this turn. So he can never actually kill a player.
He is a win more.
He's a sweet wall.
I think this card is nice. You guys didn't like it as much when we talked about it, but at $10, that's a definite 1. Like, he's going to drop down.
Well, $8 right now on cool stuff, but I still think that makes it like a 1 to a 2.
Yeah, I'm definitely in on a 1. I think this is going to be bulk before it's worth anything.
Yeah.
It's like a 1.
I want to open this in a booster pack and out at 8. Maybe that's what all 1s are, like cards you want to open in a booster pack and get rid of real quick.
Well, yeah, I mean, like if a 3 to a 4 is a card that you want to trade into, like a 1 or a 2 or even like a 2, anything that's a 2 but isn't quite a 3 is basically one you want to trade out of. So.
Sure. Yeah. So this is definitely a card I'm looking to trade out of and try to get that.
So know. 1 to
2. Yeah. All right, next card. We have Melek, Is It Paragon. 4 blue red, legendary creature, weird wizard, excuse me.
Weird wizard.
Play with the top card. Yeah. Play with the top card of your library revealed. He's a 2/4. You may cast top card of your library if it's an instant or sorcery card. Whenever you cast a instant or sorcery spell from your library, copy it. You may choose new targets for the copy. Very cool, very Timmy effect. I can imagine it's a 1 no matter what it's pre-selling for.
Yeah.
Pre-selling for $1.50 and a 1 sounds right on the head.
All right. Next card.
A 1.
Mirko Vosk, Mind Drinker. No, this may not be a 1 just because it is a legendary vampire. 3, a blue and a black flying. Whenever it deals combat damage to a player, Mind Funeral them. 2/4 flyer.
Melek might not be a 1 just because he's a weird wizard. Just saying. Foil Melek site may actually be worth money.
Really?
He's $1.50.
Unless he's a swear word in French, I don't think he's going to be an expensive foil.
It's 2 to me because he's a vampire and he mills. Okay.
I give him a 3, actually. Like, I think he's.
How much does he cost? $1.50?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't mind him at that. Like, that's probably fine. Like, unlike Melek, does have a fan following.
Yeah.
He does things that casual players like. He probably will get adopted as an EDH general.
There, yep.
If not, he's going to go in the what's the blue black guy from Ravnica?
Tavaris.
Serku.
No, not Serku. The other one. The 6-mana vampire.
Sezdek or whatever his name is.
Yeah, Sadek.
Oh yeah.
Sadek. Yeah.
Yep. All right, next card.
We should be careful
Thief.
Not to talk about EDH because it's clear that we don't know all that much about it.
Hey guys, I played EDH on Friday, but
that makes a total of like 14 games played over one of those casts.
Yeah. Well, like everyone quit because like my deck is like green, black, white, and it just kills everything a lot. Like it's a bunch of rats and reanimation.
That's super relevant.
That's a cool story. That's kind of the next card.
Everyone quit.
Nice. Good segue.
Shut up, Corbin.
If you don't stop, Corbin, we're going to quit you from this podcast.
Yeah. Notion Thief. Let's talk about this card.
Oh, it's $6 right now.
Yep. This is plagiarized on a stick, right? 2 colorless blue-black flash, 3/1. If an opponent would draw a card, except for the first one he or she draws, in each of his or her draw steps, instead that player skips that draw and you draw a card. So when they sing Sphinx's Revelation.
Why are you talking like a drunk Christopher Walken?
This is a difficult card.
If an opponent will draw a card except the first one he or she draws.
That's a difficult, it's a difficult card to read. It's a lot of text. Anyways, if your opponent tries a Sphinx's Revelation and he flashes in, instead you get a Sphinx's Revelation.
Yeah, cool. Someone somewhere on the internet talk about Notion Thief. And you can't use the phrase Sphinx's Revelation.
Can I use the phrase Whispering Madness?
Yeah, Brainstorming Legacy, sure. I mean,
Whispering Madness.
Ryan went so far as to say that this will get played in Legacy.
I think this will see more play in Legacy than it will in Standard.
I could see that. It seems like there's more utility. There are more cards that draw outside the draw step in Legacy than in Standard, that's for sure.
Well, like, to me, if you use them in Standard, you sideboard them, I guess.
Yeah.
Against Sphinx's Revelation X, probably, but like you could conceivably build the Reforged Soul, Notion Thief, Whispering Madness deck. Like,
I mean, yeah, that seems like his main standard utility. He's not going to be a hoser for Sphinx's Revelation, because they're going to be like, hey, what are you holding up? Two Nefalia Drown Yards, a Swamp, and a Watery Grave? Yeah, I think I won't cast Sphinx's Revelation.
Well, that's fine. That means they're not casting Sphinx's Revelation. Yeah.
That's fine.
Well, they'll cast something else. Win.
All right, but anyway, so what is it at $6?
I'm okay at a 3 for the long term. I'm going to say a 2 in the short term.
I gave it a 2 as well.
Yeah, two to 3.
2.5 seems like the average then.
Yeah, 2.5 sounds...
And that's, again, we're not saying it's a bad card. We're just saying $6 seems a little high. Even if people build around it, it'll be one deck. It'll be a tier 3 deck, probably. And it'll be like a 4 of in that deck, but the other decks will be in the sideboard. So
I think this card's cost very much depends on whether or not somebody does well with it the weekend after and not in Standard but in Legacy.
Wow.
I think if this card gets adopted and is going to actually see any sort of price spike, it's going to be strictly because of Legacy.
What about in Vintage? Because Vintage is one of those weird formats where stuff like Slash Panther and Hypersonic Dragon and that kind of crap. But that doesn't really affect prices.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't change anything's price ever.
Unless Japanese Foil Notion Thieves could go up from $85 to $95 if it gets played in Vintage.
So Azadaz Aid is a 3, a white and a black, and return target permanent from your graveyard to the battle. And it's $4 for a rare sorcery.
1. Yeah. I like this card, but 1.
Definitely.
Well, let's see what I give
two.
It.
1 to 2 eventually is going to be good, but I think a 1 because I think you can get it for like a dollar or less.
Yeah. Oh, and especially when on Burial Rites is legal.
Yeah, it's a 1 right now. All right. Plasm Capture, 2 blue, 2 green. Instant mana drain, only you get the right colors. Counter target.
Easiest mana drain to play around in history.
Counter target spell. At the beginning of your next pre-combat main phase, add X mana of any combination of colors to your mana pool, where X is that spell's converted mana cost. What's it pre-ordering at?
$4.
One. Actually, I'll say a 2, because I think it's going to be a playable card eventually, but I don't think that you want it at that current price.
Like, it seems to me like something you probably just run as, like, a one of, like, in your bank control deck, right? So you can, like, Zagana next turn or something, like, and hold up something else? I don't know, like...
I feel like the rock-style decks, like, the ones that are holding up for, like, Putrefy and stuff, because your mana's all there, it's just as easy to fake a Putrefy as it is this card.
Yeah, that's... And if you're playing blue in those decks.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, like I said, I think there's going to be variations of, like, 3 to 4 to 5 color control decks that are going to be able to play cards like this and be able to utilize them. So I don't think it's going to be complete bulk eventually if that deck ever pops up. But at the same time, I'm definitely not in at $4.
Everyone that's excited about this card is using Magic Christmas Land scenarios. Like, okay, you counter their Sphinx's Revelation and then play yours. Oh, I don't know.
Play yours main phase.
Play yours main phase.
Discard everything.
Honestly, if you're getting a ton of extra mana to play a main phase Sphinx's Revelation, you're gaining 12 and drawing 12. I think you're cool tapping out main phase. But it seems really easy to play around. Holding up 4 mana for a counter spell is a little clunky. Otherwise, people would be playing Rewind right now, and they're not. So, I'm not super jazzed about this card. I actually gave it a 2, even at $4.
So 1.5.
Yeah, 1.5. All right. Next card. Progenitor
Mimic.
This is $6, and...
I don't know.
I give it a 2.
Man.
I gave it a 3, but I think I gave it a 3 because I wanted it to be good.
Because it's a mythic. If this was a rare and was even $3, I'd definitely be saying like 1, 1, 1, dump it. But because it's a mythic and they can be so volatile, this is one of those things like if some random deck picks it up, it could be $15. Like, who knows?
He's picking
this.
I don't think anybody's going to, but that doesn't mean that this card is completely unplayable.
I think it's like a 2 because like it does seem like something as a mythic that could go up over time. Like, seems pretty popular casually or EDH, but I think it'll come down before it goes up. And I don't think it'll be standard at all.
I don't know. I can't tell if this is a Hell Vault or not. And the last block gave us a lot of bulk mythics. So I think this has got to be better than bulk, though. I really don't know. I don't even want to say a number because I'm inevitably whatever I say is wrong on this guy.
Okay, well, then you say something and I'll say the opposite.
I'll say a 3 then, so I'll hedge. He's got potential. I'm fine trading for him at his pre-sale price.
It's hard for me to, go against the counter and say something that isn't 3 then.
Yeah, say the opposite of a 3, Ryan. I dare you.
Okay, -3.
You jackass.
Right. Let's talk about...
The opposite of three is actually a third, not negative three. Just saying.
Let's talk about a Planeswalker.
Let's not.
A Ralzeric. A Ralzeric that pre-orders for $33.
One.
Isn't all Planeswalkers pretty much going to never get a three?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much.
That's not necessarily true. I thought Jace...
was a $30 pre-order.
No, I think that Jace, Architect of Thought, was a fine card to be picking up when it was first pre-ordered at 20, because I mean, it did take that spike. But would I think there are cards. I would have traded for them. I did trade for them.
But would you have gave it, trading is for a three, would you have gave it a high trade value as a four?
No, because it was still expensive. I think it was like, what, 15 or something like that when it was 15, pre-ordering?
20, and it was probably 30 or 20.
So by default, all Planeswalkers essentially aren't going to get a 4 or 5. Well,
probably not, unless they really undervalue something. But they're not going to undervalue Planeswalkers anymore. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
Right.
So roughly $33 is a definite one, right?
Yes,
so
absolutely.
So should we give like Planeswalkers a special score just because of that? Because, you know...
Okay, well, no. we could spend a few seconds talking about why we... Like, I'm not jazzed about Ralzeric at any price, really. I think he's overrated.
I like him at 10 to 15. I think he's better than Vraska, worse than Jace in most decks. But I think there is also decks that may be able to abuse him. I know we talked about Vintage not being a thing, but for those people who do like get into the foreign foil or the odd cards, pick this guy up. He may actually see Vintage plays, another, you know, way to do your time ball. But other than that, yeah, I mean, for standard, he doesn't really excite me, but at the same time, you know, taking extra turns, people love the idea.
But yeah, I mean,
Vintage I could see, but again, we already talked about how that's not a big deal.
Yeah, and like that only affects, you know, Japanese foil prices. Like that's unlikely to be relevant to most of our listeners.
Yeah, I think actually I like him. I think he's probably better than Jace. He's not at 35, so I think around 15. I think he's got potential just because he could untap and you can use him as a semi ramp and you could do some insane stuff. So
I do like him as a ramp card.
I think in those type of decks, if you got him in a control deck where you're just untapping the mana that you need and you're able to essentially play double colored cards because of this guy, I think there's a lot of potential.
Well, and plus also the one thing that everyone is like, oh, tapping a permanent on your turn's terrible. Not always. Sometimes if you're playing against a control deck, especially if there's a heavy counterspell control deck that comes around, being able to play this guy even in some sort of mirror match is fine because it forces them to leave an extra mana for all their counter spells at that point.
That is true.
And it keeps them completely off of syncopate because it puts you two ahead.
Yes. So, I think this guy may see more play than you two are poo-pooing him. I'm going to have to go with Marcel on this one.
Sure, but like your control mirror where he's good means you've resolved him. He's then lived a turn, and then they're still trying to hold up counter.
Okay, so you were going to trade for him at 33 then?
No.
Okay. So what are you giving? You're giving him a two to be higher than us?
No. I'm saying I just think I like the card in general more than you guys. And we were just talking about the card in depth because we were saying that the Planeswalkers need their own scale. So like this is me just saying that I agree with Marcel. I think it's 10 to 15. I don't think it's as bad as you guys are, you know, trying to say it is.
Okay. All right. We got another mythic, Reap Intellect. All the texts on this one. Two colorless. Blue, black, and X. Target opponent reveals his or her hand. You choose X non-land cards from among them, and then Cranial Extraction those cards.
Bad slaughter games.
Library, hand, graveyard, exile them. The player shuffles your library. So in order to do literally anything with this card, you have to pay 5 mana, and then you need them to have a hand.
See, that's for so much.
It's a bad slaughter games.
I like this card a lot more.
Really?
Than
okay,
guys,
what
I
do
think.
You want X equal?
2 or 3.
Right, exactly. I thought about them like, wow, if X equals 2 or 3, and then I kind of did some mental addition. Well, if X equals 3, how much does that cost?
7 mana. I get it. Again,
what are
talking...
they sandbagging on turn 7?
Like Sphinx's Revelation?
They just cast it when you cast this.
Yeah.
If they have mana up, I mean, sure, but that's like...
bunch. I mean, you do get a bunch out of it. Like, it's just a lot of mana to play a card that doesn't affect the
board. And if they cast a Sphinx's Revelation in response, then you get your pick of what you're going to take out of their hand.
I understand that. But, like, it's 6 to 7 mana that doesn't affect the board.
And then in Magic Christmas Land, they forget all their Evolve triggers and draw land every turn. But, like,
no, and I mean, it's fine.
It's a $3 card and it's a mythic. I think, I mean...
Yeah, look at Rakdos's Return. Everyone was talking shit about that card at first. I mean, I think this is a similar to Rakdos's
Return.
Return
was like a $14 pre-order. No one was talking shit about Rakdos's Return.
They were everyone on. If we go back and listen to the cast, I was one of the only people who was like, Rakdos's Return is very good. And I think this card has the same kind of potential out of the sideboards. And I think you're going to see like a green, black, blue deck that can utilize this. Hell, we can if you want to talk about Magic Christmas Land, then we can do it with whatever that counter spell was too, Plasma something or another.
Oh, like, Plasma into this. Oh, found it, Ryan. Turn 4 Plasma whatever into this card. Best use for it.
Seems fine.
Yeah, like literally that's like the best use for Plasma Capture that we found, I think.
Yeah, so I'd almost give this a 4 because it's $3. It's a $3. I think there's room for that to go up.
I'm with Marcel. I actually almost pre-ordered at least a set of these just to have them in case they did spike up, so I had them for players locally. I don't necessarily like the cash price on this, but I very much like trading for these at 3.
I think it's a 2 or 3, like, because it's not very expensive right now. Like, there's, but I don't have high hopes for it, but okay.
I don't like it. I'm not going to change my vote based on you guys bullying me.
That's fine. Nor do we want you to, so we can make fun of you in 3 months when you're wrong.
Yeah, like we made fun of you for saying that you thought Boros Reckoner was going to be a bulk rare. Oh, wait, that's we fine. Didn't do that deal right now.
We've done that a bunch, and I've definitely brought it up myself, but besides the point.
All right.
Render Silent. It is a white, blue instant. Counter target spell as controller can't cast spells this turn. Silence and counter spell. Hybrid together. Better than Dissipate in some decks, but not
this
really.
This is a card that I changed my vote on based on. I was real excited about this card too. You guys all shit on it the other week, and I was like, maybe I don't like it.
I think it's fine. Like,
it's a counter spell, but it's gonna be like Dreadbore. It's gonna be like a $3 card. Waltz is standard because it'll just be like the go-to counter spell in most decks. I feel that can run it,
right?
Because it is like it's probably still just gonna be the best three color mana or counter spell. And it does keep your opponent like from playing counter spells afterwards.
Is it better than Counterflux? I mean, it's certainly in better colors than Counterflux for counter spells, but
yeah, I mean, I think that's probably what a big part of it's going to come down to is like, I think blue white will always be more popular than blue red,
right?
And so I think that there will likely be a couple of blue white control decks throughout this thing's time and standard that we'll see enough play for this to be a 2 of in most of those decks.
All right, guys, it's $4 and it is the box topper. The buy box promo. So
yeah, definitely a 1 for now.
I think so too. Because Counterflux is 60 cents. So like $4 seems very high.
Yeah. All right. So Rurik Thar, the Unbowed, legendary creature, Ogre Warrior. He costs 4 red green. He's a 6/6, vigilant reach. He must attack each turn if able. And whenever a player casts a non creature spell, he deals 6 damage to that player. How do we feel? What's the pre order on this guy?
The pre-order on this guy is $3.50.
That seems low.
He's only a rare, and he is probably not more than a 2 of, maybe a 3 of in certain decks. I feel like it's right about where he should be, actually.
I think
at the very least, if he is going to spike, he's going to come back down to that number.
It's a, like, I give this card a 2 because I agree with Ryan. Like, that number feels right or a little high, but, like, I certainly don't see much upside there.
I gave it a 3. I think I want to trade for him at the number he's at right now.
Okay, Savage Born Hydra, a mythic, red, green, X, double strike. It enters the battlefield with X-1-1 counters, and for a colorless and a red or green hybrid mana there, put a 1-1 counter on it, activate it only anytime you can play a sorcery.
What's the price? Pre-ordered for
$8.
$7 on Cool Stuff Inc.
Yeah, no way.
Yeah, this guy's cool, but he's still a 1.
Yeah.
I think he could be around 5 in a few years, because most Hydras are around 5, but yeah, this guy's a 1.
He's cool because he's mythic, but he's going to come way down before he goes up.
Yep, and just wait for that. Wait to pick him up as a bulk mythic.
All right, next one, Sire of Insanity.
What's he selling for?
He is out of stock at $2.
Now, see, I like this card.
A lot of people online have been saying $2 is really cheap. He's the Crawworm that makes each player discard their hand at each end step. So he's obviously good with the zombie guy that lets you draw 2.
Blood Scrivener.
Yeah, if you got Hellbent.
I feel like this guy's just good anyway. I like this guy a lot.
Especially
the fact that you don't have to wait for it.
Right.
And your opponent then gets that fun, awkward choice of like, oh, I don't have an instant way of killing him. I guess casting the Sphinx's Revelation does nothing. I don't know. Like, maybe I'm living in Christmas dreamland where you can resolve this versus control ever. But I think you just auto win those games where you do.
Yeah. I think he might be a 2 maybe in the long term. But in the short term, I would say he's a 4 or 5 at $2. Yeah, people are going to want this for more than two.
Your result would be control. You got Cavern of Souls. Of course you're going to be able to cap.
Well, I mean, not just resolve. Sorry, I shouldn't just say resolve. Like survive, so they have to have some. You know, they don't have an instant way of dealing with them, but a lot of decks don't. So
it's a, or not it's a, any. It's a four to me at $2. Honestly, like
I think it's actually a five. I would be extremely happy to buy in at this card. I think this is going to be a $6 card.
I think good players see the upside, and I think bad players really like it.
Yeah.
Okay. Marcel, where are you at on it?
Yeah, four. I could see the merits for a five, but I think four is good.
Okay. Let's move on to our next really wordy Boros card. Tajik, Blade of the Legion, 2/2, 4 mana, 2 colorless red, white, legendary creature. It is indestructible. And whenever it and two other creatures attack and triggers battalion, he gets +5/+5 until end of turn. Pre-selling at $4.
That's a one.
Yeah, definitely a one.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny.
I mean, he says the word indestructible, so he'll probably have some value, but that's about it.
He's not the best general either in white.
Definitely not a good general. I mean, he seems like fine, I guess, in standard, but it'd be a defensive deck more so. I don't like it.
Yeah, you'd play him like an American control deck as like your four
American?
Drop?
Really?
Ugh.
Really?
Whatever.
Decks American.
That's what they've been called. Stop.
I'm sorry.
It.
I just hate that. That's my
French control. Thing. How's that?
That's fine with me, Frenchie. My favorite part about this guy is his flavor text. He says he runs the maze alone, and yet he's got a battalion ability. Go figure that out.
All right. Tesa, Envoy of Ghosts. Who wants to read that one?
We don't need to read it. I was doing this whole thing predicated that the people at home would have access to a spoiler.
Okay, fair enough. Tesa is pre-ordering at $2.
That's a three.
I'll happily trade for it at two. I mean, it may see standard play, and even not, I don't think it drops below two.
Three long-term, actually, I'm going to go ballsy and say four short-term. I would actually buy these at two cash because they'll trade out for more than that.
So what's your rating on it?
3.5 average between long and short-term.
Yeah, I think
I'm bullish on this at $2.
I'm not, and here's my main reason. I know we aren't supposed to talk about playability, but creatures have to hit you for it to do anything, and I get that, but like by the time you've hit 7 mana, you don't want creatures hitting you, ever.
Like, surely because, that effect keeps it at $2, right? Like an EDH play, like I know we just
talked about
everything being EDH play, but that's
their finisher can only hit you once. Like, good luck Aetherling kind of a deal.
Yeah, to me, it's not going to be good in standard, but like, it definitely has to have enough casual appeal, I think, to keep it at $2.
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Next card.
Star-striped. Now, here's a card we talked about because he gives the creatures in your graveyard scavenge. So we were talking with him with Phyrexian Dreadnought and
Death Shadow.
So the fact that there's combo potential in the short term, people are going to be scrambling to put together a play set of these. So irrespective of whether we think that deck has legs, I think in the short, was he pre-selling at?
$6.
Oh, one.
Wow.
$6.
I was expecting you to say three or four, and I was had the speech prepared about how he's a four. Nope. Okay. $6. No thanks. No thanks. I give him a two just because, like, I think they'll trade out at eight, but not worth it, probably.
All right. Next card is Voice of Resurgence. Go ahead, Marcel.
It's the card that everybody knows. This is that green white card.
What's it pre-selling for?
$19.
It's good, but it's a one.
I think it's a three.
Wow.
Here is why I think it's a three. This card is going to see enough play the following weekend. It is going to hit 30. It's going to be a very quick turn, but if there's been proof of anything, it is the week after or 2 weeks after a set releases, if there's a card that everyone is hyped up about and then it sees as much play as everyone thought it was going to, it spikes. No matter what the price is, no matter how stupid the presale is, it's going to go up from that. I don't think I want these long term. I think I completely agree. It's a 1-2 weeks after their pre-release. If you don't listen to this Friday, don't pick them up. But I have no problem trading for them at the 19 that they're at, in the assumption that it's going to take at least a couple of weeks for it to drop from that 19. And I think there's the potential within that week or two for it to hit 30.
That's a fair argument.
I don't know if I want to pay 19 cash, but yeah.
No. That's why I said three. Yeah, I absolutely don't want to pay cash on this card.
So wait, I thought paying cash was a five.
Yeah, it is. That's why I said three.
Four is trading high value in a trade.
Yeah, four is something you're definitely targeting. Three is something you're okay trading for, or that you're actively going to trade for. But
and I guess a five is like, wow, this card's retail price is going to be next week's buy list.
Correct.
Yeah. So I give it a 3 as well. Like, I think you need to be able to get rid of them in a week or two, but that's, you know, I think outside of that, it's stable for that time. I don't think that'll be the price a month from now. I think it'll be like 10 to 15.
Sure, so but in the short term, I think enough people are talking about it. Yeah, that's a pretty compelling argument Ryan made there.
Yep. Next card, Vorrel the Hulkled.
It's Merfolk.
What's the pre-sale on this guy?
Too much.
probably too much. The pre-sale is $2, which is too much.
No, actually, I'm a 4 on that.
No, it's $1 too much to me.
I'm very happy to pick this card up. I think this card may even see standard play.
No.
It's a 1/4.
No.
It's a 1/4. It blocks in the decks you want to play it in. I don't necessarily know that it's great, but I really just want to... Am I the only person that wants to play this with Gideon and double his counters?
I'm inclined to just say 3 just by sheer virtue of his being $2. Like, almost any of those.
It costs $2. Gilder Baron is more than $2.
Yeah, it's a definite 4.
Go ahead, Marcel.
It's a 4 just because the potential is just so good, and it's like, you know, double season on a stick for $2. You can't go wrong.
Corbin is viewing everything through the non-objective lens of his being disappointed. This is the only fucking merfolk in the whole set.
I'm viewing it through the lens that this is going to be $1 before it's $4.
I don't think so. I don't think this card will be any lower than it is now, ever.
Hey, it says double, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
No.
Does it say double on the card, Corbin?
No, it does not.
It says 4 merfolk.
It does not say double.
This is for each counter on target artifact creature land, put another of those counters on that permanent.
So I probably wouldn't play it with Gideon, Ryan. You might be disappointed.
Well, if you got to know the first Gideon, you animate him as a creature first, no, and you activate this ability.
Both Gideons work that way, though.
You can do that. Yeah, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, this doesn't say double. It puts an extra. You're right.
I thought it did double.
Still $2.
I still like the card.
It is double. It's for each counter, you put another one
on there.
Yeah,
it's for each counter, not for each permanent with a counter on it.
No, yeah, no. Is it double? We actually need, I need a judge's ruling on this.
There are two counters for each counter. So two times, put another counter.
No, but for each counter,
yes,
it says, no, put another of those counters on that permanent. Yes. But does that mean for each counter, like if there's like a +1/+1 and like a fate counter or something?
Yes, it does, Ryan.
Yes, it doubles.
Okay.
Yes, it doubles.
I'm just making sure.
Say double.
That you just got tripped up because Corbin's being a jackass. It doesn't say double. It does.
Yeah, well, that's why I had to, like, reread the card a couple of times.
My God, this isn't this hard.
You're low-hanging fruit right now, Ryan.
I'm sorry.
Look, I just think it's going to be a month, 2 months after pre-release. And at that point, I really like them. And I don't hate them at $2. That's why I give it a 2.5. So.
And I think I like almost paying. Well, not almost paying, but I will happily trade for this card at $2.
I'll give him a 3.5 for that's the number of minutes we've spent on this card longer than we needed to.
All right. So yeah, I got to leave everybody. Something came up, so they're going to finish the cast without me. Later.
Thanks, Marcel.
See you, Marcel.
Have a good night.
All right.
Well, we're almost done here. So,
Let's
power through these last few cards.
Yep, the last gold card, Zeratah Ancient, is a 3, red, green, 7/5. Oh, wait, we're not reading the cards. But he's a mana flare. I love this card. I think he's probably not as playable as I'd like him to be.
What's he at?
75 cents.
Ooh, wow.
I'm 5.
I'm a 5 at 75 cents, absolutely.
I'm like half, half on this. It's just so cheap.
Even if he doesn't see playing standard, like...
How do you lose? He's a damn mana flare.
Yeah. And he's not going to see playing standard because, like, you're going to tap out to play him and then your opponent's going to get a mana flare before you do. But, like, EDH, his card won't be lower than 75 cents ever because somebody will always play him casually. So
yeah, those one-of formats really drive up the price of 75-cent cards.
Well, it's not going to be...
Which is why, you know, Deadeye Navigator is $15, right?
This is a lot bigger deal than Deadeye Navigator, and you know that.
No, it's not. Deadeye Navigator is broken in EDH. I don't think he's better than Deadeye Navigator.
It's a mana flare.
I know what he is. No one's going to kill him. In EDH, people are going to leave him alone because they want that mana flare.
Yeah.
So this could, you know, make you a popular guy at the table.
Yeah, so, like, it's a 4 to a 4.5 for me because, like, I don't want to buy him for cash. But I
buying at 75 cents cash at the very least you're gonna out him for 3 and trade in the short term to casuals.
Yeah. All right. Let's hit the next one here. Breaking and Entering. This is a
you've missed Beck and Call.
Oh, did I? Let's go back to Beck and Call.
What's Beck and Call pre-selling for?
Probably way too much.
Yep.
But obviously the card's good.
It's a three. Like, Perez, it's a three.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, likely. Beck is pre-ordering at $4.
Ooh. Okay, so almost four. A four. Yeah. 3. I will 5. Happily trade for those. I don't think I quite want to pay cash on them.
It's a three to me.
Yep.
All right, so let's move on to breaking and entering. I know Ryan mentioned this last week because breaking, you know,
my only for sure, five in this set is breaking and entering for me.
It's pre-ordering at $2 out of stock on cool stuff.
Okay, so he's a six.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, look at this. Oh, come on, what's Glimpse the Unthinkable? Like, now what's breaking?
$15-$20.
Okay, so many, many instances of $2.
Right, and I think this card may see actual play, which means it even beyond the casual, it may just.
I mean, people were talking about using Billy around entering as well. So
yeah,
yeah. So yeah, okay, $2. That's non-sane. If you can get these for $2, do it. I'm not buying arm lock.
I never do. So I'm calling it $4 or a four because I will pick these up all day at $2. Oh. All right. Next card.
Catch and release. What's the presale on that guy?
The presale on that guy is $2.
That's actually high. I don't think his halves work together all that well.
I'm okay with that, though. I think either half may see play, and they might not even be in the same deck. But I mean, probably not.
It seems like a good Wrath effect in EDH. But you can't play it if you don't have a blue, red, white general.
I'm a four on this guy.
It costs if you're doing both sides.
Yeah, I don't want to play both sides. I think in standard, though, both sides will see play, completely separate from each other.
Maybe.
I mean, it's steal any permanent. It's not just steal a creature. So you can steal their Planeswalker the turn before you're going to ultimate it, like so on and so forth. Like, there's plenty of applications for this card. All
right. I give it like a two, just because I'm not excited about it, but I don't
think
it's
a 2.5, because at $2, it's hard to lose.
See, I like a four. I think it's going to go up from that.
Yeah, you've said that.
All right. Flesh and Blood, one.
It's pre-ordering at $1. So, one. Yeah, I still
would be seems generous. I'm kind of call that a one at $1.
Yeah.
Guardian Willing? This thing seems really cool. I don't. What's the presale? If it's more than $1, I mean.
It seems like an uncommon to me.
Yeah.
Seems like a really good uncommon.
$2? Yeah, probably a one still. Like, I want to feel like this card's going to be good.
I just don't see where you play it. Like, you already have
limited.
This,
you play yeah. limited.
You already have the creatures you control are indestructible effect in standard. Like, you know, there's probably much better uses. Like, there's a lot of other ways to get around a Wrath. So that half is meh. And the other half is also just, like, you know, nobody's dying to have that effect. So, yeah, I give
also
it a one.
The Archangels. Yeah, I just...
yeah. All right, so one final card, I believe, right? And that card is Maze's End. What do you guys? That's
one, because everyone's going to get handed one for starters.
It's out of stock at $2 pre-order.
Yeah, okay. It's a really terrible way to win the game, because you have to play with a ton of terrible cards in your deck. You have to do terrible things. It's a really slow ramp. Like, if I got this in limited, I'd be like, all right, fine. I can, you know, it gets me Gilgates or whatever, but it's just slow and clunky, and it's a terrible way to win the game.
Yeah, and, like, I just don't see this having, like, casual appeal either, like, because nobody's like, oh, I really want to get 10 gates. So, yeah. Okay, well, I think we have finally come to the end, outside of the Shocklands that are coming back. So I thank you guys if you stuck with us through the – this has been a long cast, as it always is when there's a new set that comes out. But hopefully this was helpful to you guys. So thank you for listening. We will be back next week. Boom.
Brainstorm Brewery is brought to you by GatheringMagic.com and CoolStuffInc.com. Show your support.